Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, where we only talk to the best and the brightest. And Gene, you scooped this, saw an article that caught your eye as we prepare for the NFL draft, which is now almost 2 weeks away.
15 days. Not that I'm counting or anything. But the Buffalo Bills, we've been talking about a lot on this show. Well, the Bills would be wise to trade down. And we're bringing on, he is the editor-in-chief of Buffalo Rumblings, first time on the show, Chris Trapasso. Chris, first of all, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it. And yes, your article did catch my eye about how at number 10, the Buffalo Bills are actually in a very decent position. How so?
Yeah, I think that sitting there at number 10 overall, when you look at the amount of what most people would say would be the elite skill position players in this draft, there's about 7 to 8, maybe 9 of those guys. So it really will work out either way for the Bills that if no quarterbacks go in the top 10, and this quarterback class is truly not that good, which kind of seems to be the consensus, and a lot of teams want to build their rosters first before picking a quarterback, then the Bills will be sitting there at number 10 with either the pick of the litter at that signal caller spot, or they'd be a prime candidate to get a team, like you mentioned, to trade up, which means the Bills would trade back, get a, you know, an extra second-round pick, maybe even an extra third or a fourth round pick, where there's a lot of value in this draft. But on the other hand, if, say, the 49ers at number 2, maybe even the Bears at number 3, the Jets at number 6, the Jaguars even at 4, say there's a run on quarterbacks and 2 or 3 of those guys are picked in the top 9, then that would mean that some of those elite skill position players like linebackers, cornerbacks, safeties, which the Bills need, would be pushed down the board. So I really think when you look at it, based on the Bills' needs, which are mostly on defense and at that wide receiver spot, and just the kind of the makeup and the needs of the other teams in the top 9, and then you compare it to this quarterback class, that's really the most important part of this top 10 for the Bills, and it really seems like it'll work out that they'll either be a prime trade-down candidate or they can get one of those elite skill position players.
He's the editor-in-chief of BuffaloRumblings.com. Chris Trapasso joining us in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Let's talk about some of these teams that draft after the Bills that might be interested in moving up to snag one of those quarterbacks. Of course, the Browns at 12, the Cardinals at 13. They've both been linked to Mitchell Trubisky, and they've both wined and dined, you know, the usual suspects at quarterback, the usual prospects. Giants at 23, the Texans, which Gene has been eyeing at number 25, and the Chiefs at number 27. I mean, we would love to see the Bills somehow move back to one of these positions from one of these teams, you know, trading up to get that quarterback. But realistically, you know, how is that going to happen? I mean, how do you, what do you put the odds at that actually happening on draft night, Chris?
I think they're probably pretty good. And I mean, I think like, kind of like I just said, that it will obviously depend on what happens in the top 9 picks. Obviously for a team like the Chiefs or the Giants that are picking into the mid to late 20s, it will be a lot harder for them to move up. But, you know, we've seen those, you know, meteoric rises when the Jets picked Mark Sanchez, they moved up from the 20s all the way into the top 10. When the Falcons picked Julio Jones, they moved up way up into the top 10 from the 20s. So I think I wouldn't say it's a 50-50 chance, but I would say it's close. And even if, say, Mitchell Trubisky goes in the top 5, a team could love Deshaun Kizer out of Notre Dame or Deshaun Watson out of Clemson. In that scenario, the more quarterbacks on the board, the better for the Bills. And I personally think that's why it makes perfect sense that we've seen over the last couple days or couple weeks that the Bills have shown and put it out there that they have extreme interest in all of these quarterback prospects, just in case 1, 2, or 3 of those guys are sitting there on the board when they go on the clock at number 10, that, you know, they will be able to move back and have a team, regardless of which quarterback prospect they like, come up to get their guy.
Well, the Cleveland being at number 12, Arizona at number 13, and if you talk about your pick of the litter, how long could those teams wait? The teams ahead of Buffalo, I'm looking at the Jets at 6. And Chris, for the sake of this argument, I'm just going to say the Jets are going to take one of those quarterbacks. And the New York media is all over them, and they've been linked to a lot of these quarterbacks. But if at what point is the drop-off there after that? In that scenario, could you see a team like in Arizona trying to trade up, get past Cleveland, and could the Bills fit the bill on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another pretty distinct possibility that I actually didn't write in my article, that a team could look to get ahead of the Bills. And I think, again, that's why it's so smart to have Terry Pegula at these workouts. You know, there's some rumors that Doug Whaley loves Deshaun Watson. I'm sure the Bills are going to work him out, have him in for a visit, so that even if a team like the Cardinals moves up maybe to 5 or to 6 to get that quarterback ahead of the Jets, then, again, there could be a team that could really like the 2 or the 3 other quarterbacks that would still be there. And I think the Browns are a team, you know, the Bills have obviously made trades with the Browns. It was a different regime, but I think if the Browns are sitting there at 12, they're probably going to take Myles Garrett at number 1. And it kind of seems to be the consensus that they would still want to look at a quarterback in the first round. Say even if Watson goes number 4, number 5, Trubisky sitting there at 10, there's been all this talk about the Bills liking Trubisky. Would they maybe give the Bills an extra second round pick just to move up 2 spots? I think they probably would, and the Bills would love to make that trade.
And the other side of that coin with Pegula going on all of these visits to visit the quarterbacks is, well, he could fall in love with one of these guys, and you could see the Bills actually take a quarterback at 10 because the owner thinks that that makes sense for the long-term viability of this team. Should they, if the quarterback that they like is there at 10, take a quarterback at 10?
I am in the kind of school of thought that I don't think that they should pick any of these quarterbacks. I'm not really that high on this quarterback class as a whole. I think Deshaun Watson is the best player. I don't necessarily think he's worth the number 10 overall pick, but that kind of ties into why I think that the Bills are in a perfect spot that, you know, if no quarterbacks go in the top 9, then like you mentioned, if Terry Pegula and more importantly, Sean McDermott and Doug Whaley really like one of these quarterbacks, then they can pick him at 10. But if not, then because of all this interest, because of all these, private workouts that they've done with the whole Bills front office there, pretty much, they will be a prime trade down candidate as well. But no, I don't think, just based on the structure of their team and some other needs that they need, and with Tyrod Taylor here for at least another season, I think this is a quarterback class, especially early, that the Bills should pretty much pass on.
Our guest is the editor-in-chief of Buffalo Rumblings, Chris Trapasso. You can read his work there here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. We've been talking about the scenarios where the Buffalo Bills at 10 and, no quarterbacks have been taken. What about, the flip side where you do have quarterbacks, multiple maybe, and the Bills at 10, like you say, would be in a great position, especially if they want to get some help on the defense. So who would be some names there if you do get 1 or 2 quarterbacks, and how would that affect the draft board? Could there be a Lattimore for the Buffalo Bills at number 10?
Yes. I think that's a really good possibility. And again, this kind of plays into why I think the Bills should be pretty content with where they're picking, that if they start to see 1, 2, maybe even 3 quarterbacks go in the top 9, then they're happy. Like we just mentioned before, if no quarterbacks go, then they can pick their guy. Or they can trade down. If a lot of quarterbacks do go in the top 9, Malik Hooker out of Ohio State, Sean McDermott runs a cover 3 system. He needs that Jarius Bird, Earl Thomas type of free safety. And I think Malik Hooker has as much range as Jarius Bird, as Earl Thomas on the back end. He would be a great pick at number 10. Reuben Foster out of Alabama, talk about a speed linebacker. We've kind of heard that Preston Brown and Reggie Ragland might not have the kind of speed that Sean McDermott likes at that linebacker spot. Reuben Foster is a missile back there. If he falls to them, I think the Bills would love to pick him. And then there's just a slew of other guys. Marshawn Lattimore, like you mentioned, out of Ohio State, the cornerback. Solomon Thomas, who's more of an inside rusher, could be a nice heir apparent to Kyle Williams. if he slips down the board, I think the Bills would really like to get him. Even Jonathan Allen out of Alabama, another inside rusher. If those quarterbacks go, a lot of these top defensive guys, and most of the top elite talent in this class are on the defensive side of the ball, I think the Bills would be very happy if they saw a bunch of quarterbacks go in those first nine picks.
Editor-in-Chief at Buffalo Rumblings, Chris Trapasso, is our guest in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Read his article at buffalorumblings.com on why the Bills, situated at 10, are actually the perfect place for them in this draft. And the other thing that you bring up in your piece, Chris, is that every year in the draft, picks kind of come out of nowhere, and teams swing out of their shoes a little bit and go after a guy, reach for a guy that probably wasn't supposed to go at that spot. I think of a guy like O.J. Howard as a guy that could fall as like a top 10 guy that, like, yeah, he could be a top 10 guy, but do you really want to take him as a top 10 guy? Are there any other guys that you see, any other of the prospects that are out there that you could see going in the top 10 that might have some people scratching their heads like, really? They took that guy there, which would, of course, only help the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I think Derek Barnett seems like an ideal fit for the Cincinnati Bengals. He just, in terms of his size, length, athleticism, he's the kind of outside edge rusher that they seem to like. Very productive in the SEC. I didn't really like his film as much. I didn't see a lot of refinement as a pass rusher. He kind of won with really his speed alone in college. He's someone that is not really a consensus elite prospect. He could go in the top 10 for sure. I think the biggest wild card is Leonard Fournette out of LSU. I'm not an advocate of picking a running back in the first round really at all, and definitely not the top 10, but he's just been a superstar since high school. I don't think his LSU film, especially last season when he may or may not have been hurt a little bit, was that great, and certainly shouldn't warrant him going in the top 10. But I think just because of his star power and his name, he could. Christian McCaffrey out of Stanford, he can kind of be that offensive weapon. There's certainly probably three or four more guys that seem to be right now fringe first rounders, mid first round guys. And kind of like you mentioned, if you go back each of the last three or four or five drafts, there's always a man, I didn't think he was going in the top 10 pick, who ultimately does, which again would help the Bills, whether it's that means, you know, another quarterback slides down to them or one of those elite defensive guys or a wide receiver like Corey Davis or Mike Williams. So that's part of the other reason why I think and kind of what else I was considering when I realized that I think the Bills are in a perfect spot with the 10th pick.
When you look at the draft overall for Buffalo, and the problem here for the Bills is, as you know, six picks, not a lot. And there are needs on this team, certainly. Corner, safety, outside linebacker, right tackle, wide receiver, and if you want to put a QB2 in there, fine. That would be six needs. Chris, the way what's on the roster right now, you're not going to be able to fill everything if you just stay with those six picks. Which one of those areas could the Buffalo Bills get by at all? Would it be right tackle? Would it be Ramon Umber at outside linebacker? Would it be the corner position and try to hope that you could strike gold, you know, with a street free agent? Which one do you think the Bills are going to be forced to get by?
I think probably the right tackle spot. This is probably the weakest offensive tackle and just offensive line class that I've ever scouted, and you know, some guys that have been doing it a lot longer than me have said, you know, maybe even in the last decade, just there's not that franchise left or right tackle in this class. So I think the Bills might have to get by with either a late round pick or, kind of like you mentioned, a street free agent. What is good for the Bills, though, is that this cornerback class is definitely the best in the last decade, and certainly the best over the last 5 years that I've been scouting the draft. So if they want to address the wide receiver spot, if Sean McDermott wants to add to the linebacker group, you know, he had those great linebackers in Carolina that were so really vital to that defense being so good over the last couple of years. They could wait until the third, maybe even the fourth round to get a quality starting caliber cornerback. And I think this safety class, you know, there's certainly not a ton of those free safeties that can range from the middle of the field to get interceptions and to break up passes. But there's a lot more good safeties in this class than I've seen over the last 5 years. So I think they can afford to wait a little bit longer into the third, into the fourth round to address their secondary and still get a really good player.
Chris Trapasso is the editor-in-chief of BuffaloRumblings.com, joining us here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Chris, from the owners' meetings a couple of weeks ago, when asked about who was going to make the decision on draft night, Terry Pegula just kind of stated that it was going to be a group decision, a group effort. In your opinion, who's making the calls on draft night for the Buffalo Bills?
I don't think there will be one guy making the you know, final decision. If there is anyone that can kind of nudge that pick, I do think that it's Sean McDermott now. I think Doug Whaley, when he first was the GM in 2014, there's kind of some mystery out there how involved he was in the 2013 draft when they picked when they moved back and then picked EJ Manuel, got a couple extra seconds, third. But I think in 2014, it was pretty much Whaley's call when Doug Marrone was the head coach. And then, you know, over the last couple of years with the Bills not making the playoffs, I think Whaley's lost some of his power in that war room. And I think part of the reason why the Bills felt very confident in hiring Sean McDermott is that he's been under two very successful head coaches in Andy Reid and Ron Rivera. He's been interviewing for head coaching jobs for the last three off seasons, so he was really prepared for this. He's worked his way up, you know, as a position coach to a defensive coordinator. So I think he will have a lot of say and can kind of tell Doug Whaley and his scouting staff, hey, I need a linebacker who's kind of like Thomas Davis, smaller, faster, a lot more athleticism. I need a free safety who can play the middle of the field. And then it'll kind of be on Doug Whaley and his scouts to kind of identify those guys. But it wouldn't surprise me with kind of Doug Whaley hanging on to his job right now that if Sean McDermott is the one who says, okay, let's make this guy the pick with the 10th pick or in the second or third round.
We tweeted out his article. You can follow him at ChrisTrapasso.com. Our guest here, the editor-in-chief of Buffalo Rumblings. Chris, as we wrap this up, everybody's got a mock. I assume you've got one, too. So your first and second round picks for the Buffalo Bills in your mock, who would they be?
I would pick Mike Williams, the wide receiver out of Clemson. I'm a little biased in that over the last couple of years, just while scouting draft picks, while watching the NFL, I've kind of had a tendency to like the bigger, you know, power forward type wide receivers that when you're in the red zone, you can throw it up to them. When coverage is perfect, he's still open, you know, 2 feet above his head. I think Corey Davis or Mike Williams would be really good picks at number 10. When you look back at Tyrod Taylor's season last year, which was not as good as it was in 2015, there was that stretch where Sammy Watkins was hurt, Robert Woods was hurt, Greg Salas went down. They, you know, he was dealing with a wide receiver group that was not very good. It was one of the worst in the league. So I think giving him another top-tier weapon would be huge. And then in the second round, Marcus Williams out of Utah. He's not a huge name, but look him up. He had a ton of picks last year at Utah. He had a 43.5-inch vertical, 6'1", a little bit over 200 pounds, still very young, only 21 years old. Just a super athlete and can certainly play that free safety center field role, and I think it would be a perfect match in Sean McDermott's defense.
All right, Chris, I got a debate with you because on our show I have been dead set against the Buffalo Bills spending a wide, you know, at number 10. And hear me out for a second, and I'll let you respond here. You know, have a fun debate here. You have a number one receiver on this roster. His name's Sammy Watkins. The number 10 overall pick really is for a wide receiver one. So from a chemistry standpoint, I don't know how that works. And in fact, this would be unprecedented from the fact that there's not another team in the NFL that has two of their own top 10 picks that are wide receivers. Oakland has two, being Cooper and Crabtree, but again, they pick Crabtree off the street, and Crabtree comes in, and he realizes he's a number two. Could you really take a wide receiver at number 10, and that receiver would defer to Sammy Watkins? I just don't see that happen.
And I also think you have to think, consider who's throwing the ball. I mean, Tyrod Taylor throwing the ball is not the same as, you know, a lot of other quarterbacks in the league throwing the ball. Are you wasting that pick at 10 when you consider who the quarterback is?
Yeah, I think with my pick there of Mike Williams, I think it's just really because I'm a firm believer that Tyrod Taylor is a quarterback who's not going to make his receiving core much better. But if you put, you know, quality wide receivers around him, he can be a good quarterback. And I think you saw that in that Dolphins game to end the season when Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods were on the field. You know, he threw for over 300 yards, had three touchdowns. In 2015, when there was not nearly as much injury at the wide receiver spot, he was, you know, a top 15, maybe even a top 10 quarterback at times. And certainly the offense was not the problem. I just think that after seeing the team's overall lack of depth at that receiver spot, and then you lose Robert Woods, you lose Marquise Goodwin, which, you know, I don't think that the Bills made mistakes by letting those guys go, that I think you have a huge, huge hole, even if, you know, you're not going to necessarily have a distinct number one receiver and number two receiver. I think giving Tyrod Taylor those quality weapons on the outside would be really important for, you know, a quarterback like him that might need a little help in the passing game.
Chris, this is what makes the draft great, though, because, you know, it's so fun to debate, and this is why NFL fans are into this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with the Bills, kind of like you mentioned earlier, there are so many holes. I don't think they have 6-7 holes, but they have 3 or 4 or 5 that they could certainly address with the top pick. You would kind of think that Sean McDermott would have a propensity to be looking at the defensive side. I think the dark horse pick is Hassan Reddick out of Temple. I'm actually writing an article on him now that he is very similar athletically to Thomas Davis, who obviously thrived in Sean McDermott's defense over the past 5 seasons. They're both guys who came into college as safeties, moved to linebacker. Reddick played some defensive end, but he's a much better off-the-ball linebacker. I think even O.J. Howard would be a great pick, although they have Charles Clay. I really think O.J. Howard's almost just like a big wide receiver. So there's certainly a lot of those elite prospects that I've been mentioning that could be there when the Bills go on the clock at number 10 and they have, you know, 3 or 4 holes that they could look to fill.
Chris Trapasso joining us here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Chris is the editor-in-chief, BuffaloRumblings.com. And Chris, I got to say, I love having you on the show, man. You know, first time in the Sports Bar. Love the site, BuffaloRumblings.com. You should check it out. And it's funny, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, guys that write for, you know, I don't want to classify Buffalo Rumblings as something that it is not. I mean, it's basically a Buffalo Bills blog, but you're the editor-in-chief of a blog that gets a lot of eyeballs on it because of your affiliation with SB Nation. And so I think there's some importance to that. And furthermore, the work that you and your staff are doing, you're putting in a lot of time and hours and energy and effort into this game, into this team, more so than probably a lot of NFL executives that are actually out there. So your word matters. And man, we appreciate having you on with us this afternoon, Chris.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, and that was good stuff, and we'll have that interview for you up there as Chris gives his take on why number 10 is the perfect spot, whether it is you have quarterbacks go ahead of you, okay, then you're going to get a prime defensive player you weren't thinking you were going to get, or if at number 10 no quarterbacks go, but then some team below you might get nervous and jerky, and that's where you could trade down. That's why number 10 is golden. And in this world, Danger, to follow up on your point, it used to be, well, you know, we only talk to people in the newspaper. The world has changed. Voices come from every direction. Social media is so big. So if we have quality voices, we're going to put them on the show here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that some of these guys, and I'm not exaggerating, some of these guys put more time, energy, and effort into it than actual NFL executives do in terms of scouting and doing their homework. You know, these guys live for it. They have a passion for it that a guy that has to do it for his job might not have. So I'll give them all the credit in the world. And when you write a piece that is as worthy as this piece was, Gene, it caught your eye.
Yep.
I read it. It caught my eye. And I've read Buffalo Rumbling stuff before that has caught my eye. And I think to myself, you know what? Why not? That's a great point. And somebody put a lot of thought and time and energy and effort into that thought. Let's share that. Let's talk about that. And having Chris on today, well, that was great, Gene. I appreciate you pointing that out to everybody. And if you missed that article, by the way, ESPN Rochester on Twitter, at ESPN Rochester. We tweeted it out earlier. And that interview with Chris Trapasso, if you missed that, we'll have that for you on demand on the all-new ESPNRochester.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.